As budget negotiations continue, one big piece of the puzzle is school funding. So we're going to check in with our education desk reporter, Dusty Rhodes. Dusty, I know there are several school funding bills still on the table. Remind us how they compare.
Okay, right now there's three. One is from State Senator Jason Berrickman, Republican of Bloomington. Another one is from State Representative Will Davis. He's a Democrat from Homewood. And then, of course, as always, there's one from State Senator Andy Menar. He's a Democrat from Bunker Hill. All three of them would throw out the current formula that we've been using for 20-something years because it's universally acknowledged as being completely inequitable. It really relies on property taxes so that, you know, districts with a lot of property wealth can lavishly support their schools. Districts that don't have much property wealth cannot even tax themselves to equity. They have tax rates as high as 13% and still underfund their schools. So all three would get rid of that formula and replace it with something called the evidence-based model. And that was developed by the School Management Alliance and the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability. And basically, it gives each district an adequacy target based on their demographics, what kind of students they have. And then it gives them a local capacity target, which is calculated based on their property values. And then there's a fairly simple math problem to figure out what the gap is, how much the state should kick in to help cover the difference. But that only applies to new dollars. I guess I should put that in quotes. And it would go on top of a foundation that's called the base funding minimum. That's a fancy phrase for the hold harmless. So all three bills also promised that no district will lose money. But the way they calculate the hold harmless is different among those three bills.
So if I recall, there was some controversy last week and some news reports that districts would lose money under one of those bills that was being pushed by Senator Andy Menar.
Right. Dan Proft published some stories in some of his community newspapers that claimed that certain districts would lose money under Menar's plan.
And Proft's, he's been a conservative talk show host, and now he owns these papers, and he's the one that came out with that. Any idea where those numbers were coming from?
Proft's newspapers are, you know, openly partisan. He runs a political action committee that's taken millions of dollars from Governor Bruce Rauner. And, you know, his publications have a definite point of view. They're not what you would think of as a traditional journalism outlet. So, you know, when he published these stories, Menar reacted very dramatically. He held a press conference and accused the governor's office of leaking these numbers and called for an investigation. But it turned out that the numbers Proft was using came from the State Board of Education's website. The problem is he used numbers from an April 2016 model of the bill that Andy Menar introduced last year. And a lot has changed since then. For example, the governor had established a school funding reform commission, which Menar participated in, and that went on for 6 months. A lot of issues were debated. People changed their position on lots of little details. And Menar's new bill is different from the bill that he filed last year. And really, no true journalist would take an old analysis of one super complicated bill and claim that those numbers are true for the new super complicated bill. All these school funding bills are super complicated. And then Prof said, well, that's Menar's fault for not having a newer model. But models are put out by the State Board of Education. And that body, that agency, is basically controlled by the governor's office. The only true model that we have currently of any of these bills is Representative Davis's bill. So you can go online and look at it on the State Board of Education website. It is a massive, it's a massive spreadsheet. I'll give you a clue. You need to look at the base calc tab, the tab that says base calc.
And what's the bill number again?
Davis's bill is House Bill 2808. I can't believe you asked me for a bill number.
Well, you're telling people to go look.
Numbers.
You're saying to go look it up, so I thought I better give a number. So, Dusty, if everybody is still fighting over numbers, doesn't sound like anything's going to happen, especially with just a few days left in the legislative session. Is there still some reason for optimism?
You know, I'm kind of new to this, so I may be naive, but I sort of think there may be a reason for optimism. For one thing, the governor's office, according to Menar, offered him a deal. You know, like, I believe what he said was, if the Senate will pass the governor's agenda, then the governor will sign Jason Berrickman's bill, which is not the bill that, of course, Menar would like, but at least it is an education funding reform. So the governor's office is really invested in changing the school funding formula. You know, they ran this whole commission. The governor has said that it needs to change. His education secretary, Beth Purvis, has said it needs to change. They're just really invested in changing it. They'll look bad if they just revert to the status quo. So another reason for optimism is Will Davis. He chairs the Committee on Appropriations for K-12 Education. And he participated in this commission. And he's a legislator who's really educated himself on education funding. Last year, he filed a bill, you know, a school funding bill, but he never called it in committee. This year, he's the guy actively negotiating with Chicago Public Schools. He reacts when the State Board of Education's chief financial officer stumbles on a question because Davis now knows the answers himself. And he has a really different strategy from Menar. When you see Menar testify for his bills, he's usually by himself at the witness table. Davis has what he calls the dream team at his table, which is Ralph Martiri, Mike Jacoby, and Ben Bohr. Plus, this is pretty significant, he's kept Representative Bob Pritchard, who's a Republican from Hinckley, on his bill as chief co-sponsor. They have a very cordial, respectful relationship. That's a true bipartisan partnership that actually might get something done.
That's Dusty Rhodes. She's our education desk reporter.